You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
So what we choose to do is take care of humanness first. So I stock the kitchen about once a month to their palate. We have a washer and dryer on site. Sometimes this is the first time they're learning how to wash clothes. We have a full bathroom on site so they can take a shower, brush their teeth, anything that they need to do to take care of themselves. And then once we take care of that need, then we move on to the other things. We tackle a lot of things like one of our biggest challenges in Rochester is transportation. So RTS may not be working. The bus routes change. It's late. It doesn't show up for whatever reason. So all the team members here have access to Uber and Lyft so that they can get to and from work, and the company pays for that. We also do emergency childcare because that can be a challenge as well. So one of the things that we try to do internally is take away all the barriers. And barriers are, they can be specific to an individual and their current situation.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections. I am here with Tina Paradiso. Tina, what's up? How are you today?
Good evening. Thank you for inviting me and having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're tremendously busy. You've got employees walking in the door, we're shutting the door to take a minute for me and my audience. And, you know, to introduce Tina, guys, literally like five people have recommended her for the show. Everyone says her mission and her vision and everything she does is incredible. And the story really does speak for itself. So we will get started just from a 100,000 foot view. What is Imprintable Solutions? But I think people are really going to love more than just what you do, but how you do it, why you do it, and all that. But give us just the short version of what you do at Imprintable Solutions.
Yeah. So Imprintable Solutions, what do we do? So we uplift branding and marketing efforts of our customers, and we do it through printing, promotional products, and decorated apparel. So that's the what we do. And it's the how we do it, I think, that separates us and makes us stand out and be a little different. So as you know, my company is a social enterprise. It's evolved over the years. I work with about 12 different agencies and organizations in the Rochester and Monroe area. And we work with disconnected opportunity young people. So when we talk about disconnection, we're talking about disconnection from education, sustainable employment. And we bring in those young people and they have the opportunity to learn a new job skill, learn a new trade. Sometimes, a lot of times, this is their first and only employment opportunity at their young life. We're working with young people from 17 to 24. The groups of young people that we're working with, the populations, they can be chronically homeless, gang affiliated, reentry, pregnant and parenting, refugees, English language learners, and differently abled.
Wow. And you're giving them an opportunity to have a full-time job, to work, to get their feet on the ground and gain momentum to a better life, I imagine, right?
I hope so. Yeah. Yeah. So we have a lot of success. Right now, currently we have 18 young people under our roof. And they're learning production. They're learning working with people different than self. They're learning, you know, on the job skills. They're learning punctuality, being on time, how that looks, how that works, communicating with a supervisor. And then outside of that, I believe in taking care of our humanness first. So yes, we have an internship program. Some places call it on the job training, work tryout, whatever words that agency chooses to use, it's all pretty much the same. Typically the internships run from 8 weeks to 6 months. In that time, a lot of programs are set up to that they want young people to immediately say, okay, yay, I got this, next step, let's go work for, and that's not the reality of the situation. So what we choose to do is take care of humanness first. So I stock the kitchen about once a month to their palate. We have a washer and dryer on site. Sometimes this is the first time they're learning how to wash clothes. We have a full bathroom on site, so they can take a shower, brush their teeth, anything that they need to do to take care of themselves. And then once we take care of that need, then we move on to the other things. We tackle a lot of things like, one of our biggest challenges in Rochester is transportation. So RTS may not be working. The bus routes change. It's late. It doesn't show up for whatever reason. So all the team members here have access to Uber and Lyft so that they can get to and from work, and the company pays for that. We also do emergency childcare because that can be a challenge as well. So one of the things that we try to do internally is take away all the barriers. And barriers are, they can be specific to an individual and their current situation. And then we work on a lot of our young people come in and they're already connected to service connection. And if there's a gap in services, we will do advocacy work and make sure that they're connected to other needed services if there's a gap. Yeah, so that's what we do in a nutshell.
Talk about going above and beyond, Tina. Everything from helping people with transportation to feeding them to clothing. Is there recreational stuff? It sounds like you're building an entire family here. Is there any fun things you do with your team?
I will say we do have a lot of fun. I think we have a lot of fun here. I think so. If you have the opportunity, and you know, COVID has changed a lot about how people do business, right? We don't have as much foot traffic, not as many people coming in, but I promise you, if you come through the door, there's a definite vibe. There's a definite, the music is always playing. There's, we get business done. We get shit done. You know, we have a production schedule. We have to meet in hand dates. We have to meet customer expectations. So hardcore business does get done. Manufacturing does get done. We just happen to do it a little differently. And we just have a really cool vibe. And everybody gets the opportunity to be their authentic self, like live in their authenticity. We are who we are. I want you to be who you are. I'm going to be who I am. And it just organically turns into a family, if you will.
I love that. You give people the opportunity to be their authentic selves. You give them the opportunity to work, to learn. You build a family. This is different. I mean, so Tina, your motto and what you're doing is very 2020s. It's very brilliant. It's very employee-centric. Not a lot of people do things this way. How did you learn this model? What's your background? Why are you so passionate about building a culture like the one you've built?
Because I remember when I was a young person. I remember when I was 19. I remember when I was 19, homeless on the streets. If I could have had an opportunity to have a space that welcomed me with the way that I looked, the way that I talked, the way that I walked, I think that. See, it's like a catch 22 for me, right? Sure. So I say it would have been awesome if I'd had a place like this to be able to grow and do my heavy lifting, because I had a lot of heavy lifting to do. The other piece to that is I'm actually sitting in grace and thanks that I went through that experience, because without that experience, I couldn't build this experience, right? So it kind of, it's a catch 22. I love what we do. I love how we do it. I love how young people respond. And I believe there's a gap, right? So young people get help and services and assistance when they're under 18 years. After 18, there's disconnection from a lot of different services. And if you're single and just over 18, there are fewer and fewer services available, like Department of Social Services, like rent assistance, like SNAP benefits, like healthcare. It's just increasingly, it gets increasingly harder. And every major system that we have that has been built to help people has barriers. So a lot of our young people, you know, when they first come to us, they are just in the process of getting their documentation because not everybody has their birth certificate handy. Not everybody has their social security card handy. It's something that may be left at a household or somebody hasn't given it to them yet or any number of things. So getting that documentation can be a challenge. Without that documentation, you can call Department of Social Services and they're like, hey, well, where's your social security card? Where's your New York State ID card? So everywhere you go, every system you go to has a barrier built into it. And so what we do here is we either go around them, through them, break them down, advocate. We do a lot of advocacy work. We make a lot of phone calls. We have a lot of touches with people that we've created relationships with so that I know I can pick up the phone and call somebody and say, hey, I have a young person here who's having a challenge and this is what it looks like for them. One of my big things, there's a couple pieces of language that I use. I say, always ask the question, just ask the question. And then the other thing is tell your story. And the third thing is when you're dealing with major systems, everybody has language that they use. They've been trained to use the language. They've been trained to use the acronyms. And the layperson, including myself, doesn't always know what that is. So another question that I like to ask is, what words do you need to hear so that we can get this moved forward? Because clearly we're saying the same thing. We're just using different words. And what words do you need to hear? They're going to cause you as the social service person on the phone to press the button and say, yes, you get to go to your next step. And I found that's been literally a lifesaver.
I think that's brilliant.
Figuring it out.
Every argument I've ever been in, one person saying something, the other person saying something, and then they just start saying the same thing louder. And just asking, like, what words do you need to hear, or how can we find a solution? You decide, you tell me. I think that's brilliant. I think that's a great way to get things done.
Thanks. Thank you. And we've seen some pretty cool things. Like the majority of my young people, again, they're on internship for anywhere from 8 weeks to 6 months. Different circumstances, different agencies have different times. If our young people aren't ready for their next step, or they're still doing some heavy lifting, once they start to work here, we don't just say, oh, great, happy, you know, that you got this experience, talk to you later. That's not what we do. We actually hire them and put them on the payroll of Imprintable Solutions. So once you come in as a team member, whether you're an intern or on the job training or whatever that word is, right? What words do you need to hear? Mm-hmm. You stay with us until you have stable housing, until you have food security, until you get your high school equivalency, until you get your permit or your driver's license and it's all driven by the individual. I think that's one of the things that makes us unique. So if you want to call it a quote unquote program, right? I don't really like to use that word because that's a systematic word to me.
What word do you prefer?
What word do I prefer? Oh, it's individualized heavy lifting, right? Mm. It's driven by the person. So it's all self-identified. And young people have the opportunity to, they can tell me their story. They cannot tell me their story. One of the things that's really cool is there's a lot of peer-to-peer training and mentoring that goes on. So the older team members who've been with me for a year, year and a half, they'll kick back and be like, okay, so here are the do's and don'ts, the unwritten do's and don'ts of the shop, because we like where we are. We like what we're doing. We like how we're moving forward. And if you have a question, go to Tina, right? Go ask the question. And so they help guide other young people as they come into our space. Cause it's really, I think when you come into a space like this, it's extremely uncomfortable, right? It's something you haven't experienced. And you're going, really, I can really just go in the kitchen and get something to eat anytime I want. You sure can. Wait, I can really, yes, you absolutely can. Wait, this is really a thing? Yes, it really is. And I think if you haven't been in a situation similar to some of the situations that these young people are coming from, I think as an employer, we have a tendency to forget that going to work is actually expensive. Dress codes are a barrier. Mm-hmm. I believe in, I don't know if you've, and if you haven't, research Grayston Industries open hiring model. People come in, no resume, doesn't matter what their background is. If there's a position available, they slide into that slot and start training. And with that training comes what services they may need to be connected to. So it becomes, I don't like this word either, but I hear it a lot. It's a holistic approach to employment.
I think it's empowering. I mean, the concept of open hiring where you don't use a resume, but you show up with the conviction mm-hmm. and the will to work and mm-hmm. you're there to learn and you appreciate the opportunity. Every employer would be an idiot not to see that opportunity as a massive one to have people just young and hungry to work, whether or not their resume says 4.0 GPA.
Correct. You know, and it's interesting that you say that. It's growing. I see other employers do variations, especially right now, because it's so hard for employers to get team members, and companies are going to be forced to think differently, to do things that are uncomfortable to them that, well, we've always done it this way. And we do A, B, C, and D because of X, Y, and Z. Well, it's not necessarily right or wrong, but it's not working, right? What the past in hiring and having employees is changing. You should have a team and not a badge number, right? And just be a badge number. It has to change, or companies are going to have to, they're going to have to shift some different way, right? I hear that I've been given information that we do a lot, right? And I don't know that we do a lot. I know that we do what's right. And what fits for each individual. And I think other employers have a fear of the unknown, right? Sure. And when I list the populations that we serve here, people get uncomfortable, right? And then they ask interesting questions that are sometimes extremely offensive. but well, what about this? Well, what about that? I have to tell you, if an employer approaches me and they're curious, and I want them to ask questions, I really do. And they start asking different questions. And I'm like, That's never been a problem here. I have an amazing team that gets amazing work done. I have young people that come in. They're quiet at first because they're taking it all in. My young people can smell bullshit from a mile away. So they know, they figure it out within a week, like, oh, okay, this is for real. And then within 2 weeks, you know, they start to settle in a little more and have more conversations and learn who they're working with. And when we talk about, this is one of the things that I love, when you talk about diversity and inclusion, take a walk through my shop. It is what it is. It isn't just, you can pull back our curtain and you can open our cupboards and you can see that that we are doing what we say we're doing, period. So, yeah. And I encourage anybody who's curious about it, send me an email, give me a phone call. I love to tell our story. I love to highlight some of my young people, you know, that have gone on to start their own businesses, have gone into the trades, have moved on to, higher earning, we pay a livable wage here, but higher earning positions who leave here and walk into a supervisory role, nice. Who have learned to not just, you know, they've started with RTS, and RTS is not the easiest. It can take you up to 3 hours to get to work, right?
Right.
That's tragic. Yeah. And they've been able to save and move. And there's different programs in the area that I connect them to and where they can get their first vehicle. Right. So then they're getting their first vehicle and now they're like, oh, wait, I can go to work outside of the city. Right. And I can get there in 30 minutes. That's pretty dope. That's cool. That's a huge accomplishment. You know, it's empowering. So to watch all that happen and watch a young person come in who maybe has not gotten their high school equivalency. And then they get through that. And then I'll do things like, we do lunch and learns And if I have a young person that's studying for their high school equivalency and they're in one of the classes and they're learning differently and it's challenging for them and they're at their wit's end, I'll bring in private tutors for them so that they can actually study and be tutored while they're working so that they don't have to take 2, 3, 4 hours out of their day in transportation away from earning so that they can get 1 hour or 1.5 or 2 hours of solid tutoring here so that they can move on to take that test successfully. And this past summer, I had two of my young people successfully get their high school equivalencies and I got to go to their graduation. It was amazing. It was awesome.
That is awesome. Lunch and learn to graduation. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the whole cycle of, you know, someone, Tina, that they might be homeless and struggling. Mm-hmm. And you give them an internship, you know, 6 weeks to 6 months. Then in 6 months, they earn a spot at the table and ultimately they're a paid employee and then they're a mentor mm-hmm. and then a leader. And then they get to a point where they can pivot and actually work for large supply chain management companies and this and that, correct. Right? So,
yep.
I have nothing to say other than this is incredible. I love it, Tina.
Thank you. So I like to say we're a stepping stone or we're a bridge, right? As much as I love all, I call them my kids because I'm an old lady. as much as I love all my kids, it would be harmful and disrespectful to think that they can stay here forever. I'm not your forever home. I'm your stepping stone. I'm that step up. I'm that bridge to go from here to there. Whatever your there is, right? That's all self-defined. It could whatever there is. So it's not up to me. I make no judgments. It's not my decision. But I help you. But I want you here forever. But I don't want you here forever.
I imagine. So. Are you maintaining a long-term relationship with these mm-hmm. ex-team members? They are here forever. They just might not work specifically for you, but you can still correct. Be buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and every one of them does continue to come back through the door. So at any given time. So it's cool. And it's cool to watch. It's cool to watch the success, the steps. It's amazing. It's amazing. And, you know, it's not all rainbows and unicorns either, because the work that we do here, the physical work isn't hard. But the human work that we do here is not always easy. Things can go sideways in a split second,
right?
Blink and something goes sideways. I've had two of my kids have been murdered. And they were making extraordinary, extraordinary progress and steps. I've had young people who I have been their one phone call, gone into the police station and got my kid. It is not always easy. But I will say that I believe every employer should be doing some part of what we do, because we do a lot, right? Pick one part that you can be passionate about and do it well, and be knowledgeable, educate yourself, you know, as a leader. You can't just be a boss, you have to be a leader, right? And there's a difference. So we believe in serving leadership. We believe in conscious capitalism. We are a social enterprise. We do give back. It just looks a lot. It just looks different. And we continue to grow as a company because of it. I don't do a lot of social media. I don't do a lot of advertising. I don't do a lot of networking. And to your point, you know, you had people come to you who you and I didn't know each other. Right. And we get an introduction and you're like, Tina, I keep hearing your name.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. That's all. My gosh, that's awesome. It's an honor, right? It's an honor. So, yeah.
Well, you know, great people and great people recommend you and it's earned.
Yeah. So you have to surround yourself with like-minded people as well. So, yeah. And that's something that we teach here as well, is surrounding yourself, with like-minded people, with, you know, young people that are, you're walking arm in arm. Oh, when you come down to the process of processes, you're walking through the same process. So you can do it together and you can share information and you can continue to uplift each other. You know, one of the really cool things is I have a young person who has moved from here and moved on, and she has a baby, and the baby is younger than one of my other team members. And so my one little girl comes in and says, "Hey, you know she's not working with us anymore and she's living out of town, but, I have a bunch of clothes." And I'm like, "Yeah, let me check with her." So we both check with her and she's like, "Yeah, that's dope. You know, he's in this size clothes." So they continue to think about each other and they continue to help uplift each other, even if it's just baby clothes, right? That's pretty thoughtful.
Baby
clothes. So it's cool. Yeah, it's cool to watch.
We're better together. I mean, we're better as a team. It's
exactly. Exactly. And we have some pretty powerful partnerships. So when we talk about babies, right,
yeah.
We talk about childcare, and childcare is definitely, it's a barrier for employment. It's expensive. It's, you know, a lot of times young people are using family or friends, to take care of their children, and things fall through, things go sideways, babies get sick, you get sick. I mean, all kinds of things. And so I formed, I think one of the coolest partnerships that I formed is with Marvelous Minds Academy. They do bridge care. That's specifically what they do. And I decided, we had a conversation. I'm like, you know what, is there any way to do like a corporate membership where I can pay you for like a year in advance, and I get so many slots and so much time. And if I need you, I need you.
Yeah.
And Rosemary she's the owner of Marvelous Minds. She's like, "Well, absolutely, we can do that." And it's literally been, "Rosa, I need somebody. Can you help?" "Yep, Tina, I'll be there at 9. Yep, I'll be there at 10. Yep, I'll absolutely." And it takes a lot of stress and burden off, because when you're, when you live in poverty and you're, and poverty isn't a food issue or a money issue, it's a systemic challenge, right? So when you're living less than paycheck to paycheck, yeah, and you can't go to work for 8 hours, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's a lot of money. That's, you know, and if you've had to pay for transportation here, you don't have to, right? Here, that's not what we do. You don't pay to go to work. I did. That's not what we do here. But you can, somebody can be set back by a day or two not being able to work because of childcare. So I refuse to have that barrier. So I go out and seek, you know, partnerships that we're going to make sure that we can remove those for you.
Tina, I mean, you're incredible. Obviously, everyone listening, they want to take just one aspect, implement 1, 2, 3 aspects, implement as much as this as possible. But I'm wondering, like, you're this rare breed, and I'm wondering if it's just in your DNA, like, where do these genes come from, where your compassion and your servant leadership is, it's not at a normal level. Does it come from being in that place? Did you have mentors? Where the heck does this come from? Because you're operating at a very high level here, Tina.
Thank you. You're making me a little uncomfortable, but thank you. You know, if you want to say, where does it come from? It might, and I don't know, because I've tried to, I've dove deep into that, but I believe everybody's given a calling, and we may not always know what our calling is, right? I've been given a calling, and anytime I try to, I'm a big believer in stay in your lane. COVID hit, companies like mine were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm like, everybody's looking at me and I'm like, we're staying in our lane. It's going to hurt. It's going to be uncomfortable. We're not going to like it, but we are going to stay in our lane, because that's what we do really, 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 really well. Because when we come out the other side of it, I'm not going to get sued because I brought in some N95 masks that turned out to not be N95 masks. I ain't jumping in that boat. I don't know what the hell you people are thinking, you know, like, no, thank you. Some people considered it an opportunity for money, and that's okay. I don't begrudge anybody. I don't judge anybody. I just know that I'm going to stay in my lane. I know what I'm good at. I know what I've been called to do. I know when I try to create a different path, that I get nudged back in. I think part of it may come from, so my family was in the military. My dad was in the military for 32 years. And with that, we moved almost every year. I have three older sisters, but two of them went to 19 different schools, kindergarten through their senior year in high school. That's a lot of change and transition. So I lived in a world where change was normal, right? 90% of the population hates change. They just hate, it's like, no, me? Okay, cool. I thrive on it, right? I thrive on moving and shifting and changing and going. And that I'm assuming that's where it came from. So we have two sisters. There's two of us that are extroverts and two of us that are introverts. Clearly, I'm not the introvert. The other piece to that is my dad worked his way up through the ranks and was a leader. And when we moved to a new destination and he had a platoon to take care of, my mom took on the role of the platoon's mom, right? And even though they may have called my dad sergeant, the real sergeant was my mother, right? She was the one that made sure that all these young people were taken care of, that their personal possessions were moving from point A to point B. She wasn't afraid to go down and get in somebody's face and say, hey, you know, the Smith family, she's sitting here with a newborn and they still don't have their stuff yet. And you're holding it up over here because of some piece of paper. And so we're just going to go drive down there and get it. Okay. Like that was the kind of, that was my mom, right? She just didn't, nope. She was going to do what was right because this is your family when you're in the military. It's not just your nuclear family. It's everybody that you're connected to because you're all moving at the same time. You're all in the same situation. And sometimes it really, really, really sucked. Right. So how about we don't sit on an island and let somebody right next to us going through the same thing, live that shitty experience. Why don't we lend our knowledge? Why don't we lend our resources? Why don't we uplift each other so that we can make it still sucks. But it can suck a lot less if you know that you're not alone. Right. 100%. And that, you know, that here's a family who's been doing this for 20 years. I've been doing it for 3. Okay. So you just, maybe that's where it comes from. I don't know. I'm guessing that's the closest thing I can come up with.
By now it's just embedded in your personality. It's who you are. Yeah. The mm-hmm. servant leadership, the mm-hmm. teamwork, mm-hmm. the mentorship, the compassion, the humility. So as business people listening to this episode, we can't become a Tina overnight in terms of our leadership skills. What questions should we be asking ourselves? What questions should I be asking my teammates? How do I level up and become a little more empathetic with my teams?
Well, it does start at the top. It does start with leadership. Yeah. If you have a high-ranking president and CEO who says, hey, this is the trend for 2022, so this is what we're going to do, but they don't have buy-in, it's never going to work, ever, period. So the question has to come from the top, right? One of the first things people are going to say is it profitable? We're in business to make money. Yes, we're in business to make money. 100%. You need money to buy things, to print things on, to pay people. Yes, 100%. That's a no-brainer. Is it profitable? My company is profitable, or I couldn't be doing all the things that I'm doing. Right. I just choose to shift that profitability instead of getting a bigger space or bringing it back to me personally. Instead of being money driven or greed driven, I'm choosing to share that. I'm choosing to quote unquote share the wealth, right? Share the profit, share the, so you have to be able to discern, is that something, if you're a profitable company already, is that something you're willing to do? Are you willing to, and it has to be a budgeted item. So when you go through your profit and loss, and when you're going through your business plan and you're saying, geez, you know, we did really well as a company. We made so much money. I can give out bonuses. Cool, cool, cool. Is there a slice of that that you can put back into your budget so that you can do for your team members, so that you can provide emergency transportation or provide that emergency childcare, or make sure that your kitchen is stocked? Because you know, what's really interesting, we as human beings are really good at masking things. You are never going to know what the person sitting next to you is going through unless they give you the information. And we as human beings do not like to give that kind of information. It's none of your business what I'm going through. I'll give you that information when I'm ready to give you that information. But when I was on the streets, I worked 3 jobs. I'm not giving you that information because there's a stigma with that, right? There's a lot that goes with that. It's none of your business because you're going to judge me. You're going to judge me hard. And then I'm going to get angry, and I'm 19 and I have a temper, and I already been through shit, and great. I got fired again. Right. Like that's what it looked like. So think about a budgeted item, what you would like to invest, because it's an investment into your people. It's an investment into the community. Do you want to tell that story? I like telling our story. I'm better at telling our story one-on-one. I get uncomfortable on larger platforms, to be honest, for a number of reasons. But the story needs to be told, because if people don't know that it actually works, if business owners don't know that it actually works, it's never going to grow. It's never going to move. And I don't believe in, it's wrong to keep the knowledge that we have here. It's selfish.
Almost like a radical level of compassion where a lot of businesses will, you know, give you a letter on your birthday or they'll have an employee appreciation day, but they're waiting for someone to come to them in tears saying, I have a problem, to treat that person with respect and compassion when they should just be doing that every single day. Their people are their profit. Like people, oh man, I feel like there's a shift changing though. I'm not an expert on this. Some of my buddies are, they're big HR fanatics and they're always talking about, you know, the shift changing where it's going to be more employee centric. And I just love learning from you because I feel like you're a great testimonial of the fact that that model actually works.
It does work, yeah.
At a very grassroots level as well. So what are some of these organizations that you partner with? I'm curious if there's any local businesses that can also form similar partnerships.
Absolutely, 100%. So one of the really, one of the coolest programs that we work with is, it's a block grant. Rochester Works manages it. It's called the Learn to Earn program. And there are several organizations that are under that. So I work closely with, Center for Youth. I work with Urban League of Rochester. We work with Monroe BOCES. The other thing that we do work with young people that are differently abled. So we have a strong partnership with Rochester Rehabilitation, Mary Cariola. Who else? Arca Monroe. And then we have strong relationships with, like, Pathstone has a reentry program. We have a really strong relationship there. So there are definitely opportunities. And we happen to be, because I do open hiring, it's, you know, I get the phone call and say, hey, I got a couple of young kids. Cool. Bring them. Okay. But I need you to know. And, you know, the navigator, that's the terminology. The navigator will say, Tina, we have A, B, C, and D. And I'm like, bring them. Just bring them. Bring them. But A, B, C, and D doesn't matter to me, right? Bring them. Care about the human, but bring them. It's fine. Bring them. Exactly. But typically you'll find that, somebody's passionate about something, right? Whoever's in that leadership position, may be passionate about reentry and only want to do reentry. So they're contact Pathstone's reentry program. That's a great place to start. They have, it's called on the job training, OJT. So they have that program, where you do get, and there is reimbursement, right? So the employer is, I would say 80% of my young people, their payroll is actually subsidized through their internship. And then after that, they're clearly, it's all responsibilities on the company, right? If you're passionate about, the refugees, there's refugees helping refugees. There's Rochester refugees. There are plenty of organizations that you can reach out to form those relationships so that you can start a training program or start a program similar. If it's, you know, people with different abilities, there's Arca Monroe, there's Access VR is a great place to start. Call the state and talk to OPWDD. So whatever you're passionate about, that's where you should start, because that's where you're going to be. That's cool. Even when it becomes really hard, and when things change quickly in that blink, right? You're still going to be passionate about it because you already have this warming in your heart or some altruism about that piece, right? That even when it gets hard and it gets a little sticky and it gets a little frustrating, or it gets a little discouraging, you're still going to continue to do it because that passion was there before you started your program. That's what
brilliant.
I would recommend.
That's a brilliant point, Tina. Where again can people get in touch with you? You said Do you have like a shop? Can people come in?
We do. Yep. We're located on College Avenue, 100 College Avenue, Suite 130. We're right below Rochester Works. And they can come in. Absolutely. 100%. They can email me TinaP@imprintablesolutions.com. And I'm even going to put out my cell phone number, 585-261-4475. You can call me, you can text me. You can reach out through Facebook. You can reach out through LinkedIn. I'm really not that hard to find.
I think
I'm literally a click away.
This is special for me because you guys do work all across the nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're still so Rochester centric, and I appreciate extremely. That.
Yeah, extremely. You know, and here's another piece of information I'm going to put out there for your listeners. If you come in contact with a young person who needs something different, please contact me. I'm happy to share the resource, teach you how to go through it, right? And help that young person get either connected to services or additional services, or there might be a space for them here. And then I work with other local business owners in the area for career exploration. Happy to connect other young people with, you know, like-minded businesses. Happy to do that.
Well, thank you, Tina. You're amazing. We're going to do the rapid fire round and then wrap up. The rapid fire round is supposed to be just short, sweet, either or fill in the blank answers. It's completely subjective to you. So say whatever the heck you want.
Oh, no.
And if you're game, we'll get started with coffee or tea.
Coffee.
Are you a morning person?
No.
What about favorite social media platform? I know you don't spend a ton of time there.
Yeah, Facebook.
Facebook's the go-to.
It is.
I'm trying to do ones. I do these all the time. I'm trying to do ones I haven't done before. Let's do online shopping or in-person shopping. Obviously, online. You guys have online products. It's so much more efficient, right?
Yeah, I love online.
Of all the products you sell, most of the listeners aren't business owners. You know, they're entrepreneurs, they're salespeople, they work within a business. What is there certain products that I should be purchasing for my home office, for example?
You know, for your home office, and especially if you're doing virtual events like this, I would love to see you in a t-shirt that has your logo embroidered on your left chest. I would love to, that would be cool because you're representing your brand online and it's about brand recognition and imprinting that image on in other people's brains. Yeah, absolutely.
I've worn the same black t-shirt probably 2 times. So I'm missing out on the brand recognition, right?
Right.
Well, that's awesome because Tina, I love the phrase gratitude sells. I won't get into it, but I believe that if you have a gratitude mindset, that'll actually drive revenue. And a lot of salespeople are opposite, where they're all money, 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 and they forget that the person right in front of them is all they need to drive that money and to drive that growth. So I want to make t-shirts that say gratitude sells. So
that would be amazing. I would love to do that.
As soon as we're done with this call, we're going to start. I got to create the logo still, but literally I want gratitude sells t-shirts and I want every business person in Rochester to be wearing one.
That's dope. I like that. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. This is just quick because I know you want to wrap it up. When you talk about gratitude sells, before I had my own company, I was in sales and they always give you a personality test. And one of the challenges was, you know, Tina, this personality test says that you're not driven by money. No, I'm not driven by money. That's not what drives me. I have to have some kind of internal feels to drive me. Well, you know, that makes us a little, and I'm like, okay, so number one, you can't micromanage me. Number two, you're not going to make me greedy. You can't. It's not who and what I am. And number three, I promise you, I will be the most efficient, most productive, and your highest salesperson because gratitude sells. Because I refuse to sell for money. I'm not money based.
You kick ass, Tina.
Thank you. Ass.
We'll leave it at that. We're going to start a clothing line. It's going to be amazing.
Gratitude sells.
Yes. And I hope everybody does check out Imprintable Solutions. You've got the best of both worlds. You got a good product, but I can feel comfortable supporting your product as well. The research has been done. I will recommend you. I'm going to recommend you to a few more people. And Tina, anything we didn't touch on today, you're a wealth of knowledge. Anything I should have asked you if I knew you a little bit better?
Mm-mm. I think you covered it all because you let me go. You let me ramble.
And here's the key, because we're both going to forget something. It sounds like we can call Tina, walk in the door, send an email, dive deeper, because she wants to, she is a leader. She wants to mentor, and she'll answer any of your questions. So I'll put info in the show notes. And Tina, oh my God, this was awesome. I appreciate you taking the time.
I appreciate this. This was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.